Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. I hope you were listening in the last half hour. I had the privilege, the opportunity to join in with Pastor Lutz at 1 o'clock, and Pastor Lutz was willing to stay around here as well.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Thank you. And I'll spare the introduction that he gave me, but suffice to say is he's the only person I can get to come in. No.
Glad. I hit the window hard enough, so you let me in.
Oh, he wouldn't leave. He wouldn't leave. I looked at him when he stayed there. He didn't close his Bible, so I thought, I guess I better let him stay.
Good thing they had blinds and not curtains. I can still see through.
Yeah. Oh, well, at any rate, we're glad to have you with us, brother, and appreciate that. And every once in a while, we combine our programs like this. And so I'll have available online at livewithpastoral.com eventually both the last half hour and this half hour. And we're talking about the historic verdict yesterday, 34 guilty counts of former President Donald Trump in and I'll let the pun be intended on this one, on the trumped-up charges, because it's exactly what they were. Absolutely. They were trumped-up charges that should have been, if anybody was going to do anything, done 7 years ago, You know, this is part of what's going on. We'll touch on that here in a minute, but let me again encourage you to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to these programs there. And past programs are there. Our Sunday night programs are there as well, every Sunday night from 10 till midnight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And there's some articles and things that are there. Last one that I had posted is Behold the Fig Tree. I got another one that's coming up. It's not posted yet. And I'll just give you the title of it here. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? So that's coming up. I tell you what, if it weren't for what was going on yesterday, that probably would have been posted yesterday. So that's it's ready to go. But anyway, I'll be getting that one posted here shortly.
And we can do a new one. What came first, the guilt or the crime?
Yes. Well, I think everybody knows the answer to that one. It was the Biden administration.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
And that's what we're going to talk about here. Proverbs 29 and verse number 2. We had looked at this in the last half hour, but I wanted to read it again. Again, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people mourning today.
Yeah.
You know, remember Ronald Reagan when he was running for president? It's mourning in America.
Yeah.
M-O-R-N. Well, it's mourning in America right now. Yeah. M-O-U-R-N.
That's right.
And that's what we're seeing, because we have seen such a travesty. We have seen an example of wickedness in high places that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter number 6. And let me jump back there, Ephesians chapter number 6, where Paul says, starting in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he says this in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And he goes on to describe the armor of God. But we're in a day where we ought not to be fleeing for the hills. We ought to be standing. We're witnessing evil in the land, and we need to stand, right?
Well, and in that verse you just read, it's important to note, there's withstand and there's stand.
Yes.
And if you're going to stand, you're going to have to withstand false accusations. You're going to have to withstand persecution. God forbid it would happen, but sometimes violence.
Yes.
You have to withstand it. But the important thing is the only way you're going to withstand it is by being fully armored.
And let me give you an illustration of stand versus withstand. On Memorial Day, we had some friends from church over and all. We were grilling a few things outside, and it was kind of weird weather on Memorial Day here in northeastern Ohio. And we had a microburst in our backyard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got a thing that registers the wind speeds, and it only had a gust of 11 miles an hour. But I had the grill going, and all of a sudden, the grill sounded like a jet engine taking off, and the grill's shaking. And I had a tarp, or not tarp, a little covered tarp area, and it literally lifted up into the air. It was standing. It did not withstand. It was lifted up in the air. It did a somersault in the sky, and it almost went over the roof. One of my friends ran over and grabbed it, and he said, it was trying to lift me off the ground.
Wow.
This was a sustained blast. Now, on the other side of the house, I had a flagpole that we had just put in not too long ago, and it was standing there with the flags, and they were snapping, but they didn't go anywhere. So the tarp or the shelter, it was standing, but it was unable to withstand the assault.
Yeah.
Whereas the flags were standing, and they withstood the assault. And that's the difference between withstanding and standing.
Let me ask you a question on that, too, just taking this down the road. Mm-hmm. Which was anchored more?
Well, obviously, that's a very good point, because the flagpole was anchored. I overdid it with the concrete and
hole. Yeah, but it did help.
But I did it for a reason, because I was thinking, what they're calling for is not enough. I'm in it's a wet soil and everything, and I've got a 30-foot pole I put up, and I want to be able to put three flags on it. I'm going to at least double the size of this. I used 29 bags of concrete. It's not going anywhere. The shelter thing was not anchored.
Yeah.
It was just standing there. Mm-hmm. And that's a great point. I'm glad you asked that, because when you look in Ephesians chapter number 6, I'm thinking, the very first, do you remember the very first message you ever preached?
I do, actually.
You know what the name of mine was?
What?
People laughed at it. Dare to be a limpet.
What was it?
Dare to be a limpet.
Okay.
I was in England, and I was going to a church. People laughed then, too. People are laughing, probably listening, like you are. And in England, I was stationed there in the Air Force at RAF Chicksands, and there was a church. It was started off based by a missionary out of Georgia. And I was called to preach in that church, and I'm in the ministry because of the Air Force. That's why I'm in the ministry. God got a hold of my heart while I was there.
Amen.
And so I put together my first official sermon, and there's a little animal, a mollusk or whatever you would call it, that attaches itself to the rocks there on the coast in England, and it's called a limpet.
Okay.
And it's armored up with a nice dense shell all over the top of it, but underneath it, if you pry one off the rock, there's no shell. It's not like a clam that seals.
Okay.
It's completely open. The only way it survives predators and the beating of the surf on it is when it's anchored by holding fast to the rock.
Yeah.
And see, that was my point.
That's good.
When you look at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, there's nothing covering your back.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, we're not supposed to retreat.
Yep.
And the other is God's got our back.
Amen.
And
that's good.
When we see things that happened yesterday, travesty of justice and an example of the spiritual wickedness in high places that we're fighting against, we shouldn't turn and flee, because we don't have any armor for the back.
Right.
We're supposed to stand, and the only way we can withstand is if we're backed up tight against Christ.
Yeah.
Just like that little limpet was tight, fastened tight onto the rock that cannot move. And that's why I called the message Dare to be a Limpet. See, not laughing as much now, are you? Makes sense.
No, that makes a whole lot of sense. And how much the Bible talks about stand fast.
Yes.
Steadfast.
Yes.
And that whole idea is fastening yourself.
Well, not that word fast.
Yeah.
You said fastening.
Fastening.
A
fastener.
Hold something.
Hold fast. And
And
that's the key to being able to withstand. And you're going to do that by armoring. You're going to have the armor on, because you still got to have the armor on, but that's how you stay attached, you know, truth and righteousness and peace and, mm-hmm. You know, the faith and the spirit and the word of God. I mean, you got to stay anchored to that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another whole message for another day, but so many are ill-equipped because they've got reduced armor, if there's any armor at all, because they don't have the right components. And that's why they're not able to withstand. But we are called to stand, yes. And we're called to contend.
Exactly. And, you know, we understand, you know, I've had discussions at our church recently a lot about a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
And when you allow the Bible to shape how you look at the world around you, I look at what happened yesterday and the whole thing with this sham trial.
Yeah.
I look at that as an example of the day in which we live, because Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, yeah. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he says in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I recognize we're in those days. I'd like to be, in a sense, to be able to say I was surprised at the verdict, but
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, right.
I would have been more surprised if that didn't have that verdict, because we're living in evil times, perilous times, and wicked men are getting worse and worse. Waxing worse and worse means growing worse and worse.
That's right.
And we're seeing that happen. And so as a Bible-believing Christian, as a pastor, I look at this as all the more reason that I need to be in the Word of God. I need to be prayed up, and I need to be right with God so that I can look at what's happening in the world and not allow it to overturn me, to overtake me, to sweep me off my feet, so to speak.
Yeah.
I need to be grounded and fastened to that rock, that spiritual rock, which is, of course, in the Bible, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I was going to bring up, too, when you mentioned about the mourning in America, the M-O-U-R-N, you know, sorrow is a part of repentance.
Yes.
And so you can either go off the deep end with that,
mm-hmm.
or you can... Real godly sorrow is going to work to repentance.
Right.
And then there's something that happens. And I think, you know, people realize, a lot of people realized yesterday. I heard the number this morning was they received 30% of the donations that came in yesterday were recorded first-time donations that came in. So what people did, it saddened them what took place. It broke their heart to see where we've fallen. Maybe they didn't realize how far. Maybe they thought, oh, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. But it really hit home, and it was a moment of truth. And so what happened was that sorrow turned into action.
Yes.
And so when it says here, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repentant of, I know it's talking about salvation. But listen to the methodical things that happen after this. It says, what carefulness it wrought in you. So now you start to care about it. What indignation, what fear or reverence, what vehement desire, what zeal, what revenge. And that's really the idea. Okay, how do we make this right? And I think that has to be the mindset moving forward, is we're not quitters. We're not laying down. I understand the biblical side of this, and I understand the end of the book doesn't mention America by name. I understand that. But that does not change the fact that we're living in the very moment.
Right.
I have a wife, and I have children, I have grandchildren, and I don't want them to go down this road. And and if I don't stand, then they probably won't stand. And if I don't stand, then people in our church aren't going to stand, and our neighbors aren't going to stand. And we are called upon and comely. It should bother us so much. Maybe some are even going to run for office now.
Yes.
To get involved and say, you know what, I've had enough. Like Gary Kleck, you know, I had enough of this. I'm getting involved.
Pastor out in Fremont.
And look what how God's using him.
And now
you know?
He's down in Columbus, and he's been used of God to pass some tremendous legislation.
Absolutely.
You bring up a really good point there, because, you know, when we read there in Proverbs and talking about when the wicked are in power and all that, and over in Proverbs 28, I won't turn back there right now, but it talks about the righteous people hiding. And that's a natural tendency, but when we look at that compared to what Paul told Timothy there in told the Ephesian Christians there about standing and withstanding in the storm that's going to come, because it's spiritual wickedness and they'll rain down all kinds of attacks upon you.
Oh yeah,
and you cannot withstand without Christ. Yeah, you can take a stand, but it'll sweep you off your feet.
Yeah.
But here's something that we can do that's practical, and you mentioned some very practical things. This is turning people's hearts and to look at God, and as you were talking about that, I was thinking, remember the Hebrew nation, when they went into the land, and God blessed them, and they would forget God. They got at ease in Zion. You just read the book of Judges, and you see this pattern over and over. They get at ease in Zion, they forget God, and then God raises up opposition against them, allows opposition, and then they get overwhelmed. And in the overwhelming attacks and things that are going on, they remember God and they turn back to Him.
Yeah.
And then God raised up a judge and delivered them.
Yeah.
And then they repeat the cycle over, however many times it goes through the book of Proverbs. But we're no different today.
Right.
We're no different at all. And when we look at this, this ought to make people turn back to God rather than being overwhelmed, rather than, it's fine to mourn if the mourning is going to, like you said, change your heart, change your direction to where you're going to resolve, I am going to take a stand, I am going to get in the fight. And I know we're talking a lot of spiritual versus political type things, but a lot of it overlaps. We need to get involved in each other. And at the very least, everybody that's listening ought to heed what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, where he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, he said that this is what we ought to do first of all.
First of all.
In verse 3, he said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now more than ever, God's people need to be on their knees in prayer for this country.
That's right.
We need to be on our knees in prayer for Donald Trump. Now, some people may question this. We need to be on our knees in prayer for Joe Biden.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And for Prosecutor Bragg.
Yeah.
And for, I was thinking of the judge's name. I can't think of it right
now.
It
doesn't say what we have to pray for right now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. the judge's name, I can't think of his name right now.
Mershon,
And we need to be in prayer for these people.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, it doesn't say what we have to pray, but it does say we're supposed to be in prayer.
That's right,
and it says, this is what we ought to do first of all.
Yeah.
Not the last resort, but unfortunately, and I point finger at myself.
Yeah.
All too often, this is the last thing we think of.
Yeah, and it does say, just for clarification, verse 4, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So that's really what we're praying for.
We're
praying for their
salvation. But also, in praying for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, that's what we need.
That's right.
So that we can do what he says in verses 3 and 5, because this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So we need to pray for our government and our government officials. And I pray every Sunday for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I pray that God, this is what I pray. I pray that God will give him clarity of mind, understanding in his heart, that he can hear a clear presentation of the gospel and get saved.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine what would happen? Well, they'd ditch him pretty quick. But
absolutely. Well, but we have historical precedents in that too. I mean, I always think of Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar.
And I agree with
it.
Amen. I was in the car when you were talking last week.
I've
said that before.
He was lifted up with pride.
That's right.
And then he looked out over Babylon. Isn't this not, what is it, this great city or Babylon or whatever that I basically said, I built this.
Yeah.
And then the voice from heaven passed judgment on him right then, and he loses his mind. He goes out for 7 years, and he comes back restored to his power. And, he extols the God of the Bible.
That's right. And this is the difference, too, though. the sad part, and this is an admonition, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, because there's real cognitive issues of whether Joe Biden could. Now, God's God. God can open the understanding. Yeah. But it does go to show you that there's a line that gets crossed where God judicially blinds. You know, you mentioned Belshazzar, where he said, well, you saw your father, but you didn't humble yourself. You crossed the line, and he died that night.
Yeah.
So, but we don't know that. We don't, I mean, we see what it is, and it's like, wow, are they really? But I remember my grandmother, when she was, right before she kind of lost her mind, about 2 weeks before, there were some things there, but I remember going in there, giving her a clear presentation of the gospel, and she got saved.
Yeah.
And it was about 2 weeks later that, I mean, she lost her mind. And you just never know. I mean, that could happen at 30 years old. So you got it. Today is the accepted time.
Yeah. I mean, why put it off? And that's, when we look at what's happening in the spiritual wickedness, I mean, this is what gets me. These people who there's churches, there's Christians who claim that we're just going to get better and better. We're going to take over and set up in the kingdom on earth, and the Lord's going to be so pleased with what we've done that he's going to just come and take over the throne. How you can see what happened yesterday and still hold to that. Yeah. I mean, it's just, we are going to get, as the Bible says, worse and worse.
Yeah.
Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse.
Yeah.
And
the church loses its savor.
Yes.
Right? So at the end, and because blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles.
Yes.
So obviously it says that right before that, it says that upon them, the Jews, fell severity, but on the Gentiles fell goodness. It says, but if thou continue in his goodness, lest thou be cut off. So when the church stops being good, like, you know, churches that are saying it's okay to be sodomites and stuff like that, you know, when that's pervading and the majority of things are, and that's being a representation of what God's churches are, which it's not, then God's just going to cut this off and he's going to return back to the Jews.
I wrote an article, and it's on my website, livewithpastoral.com, on a shocking statistic. And I did this, I think, 2 years ago in a Barna survey where they found that only about one-third of pastors in America have a biblical worldview.
It was in Arizona.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
And that's why I called it a shocking statistic, because it is shocking.
Yeah.
And it's no wonder. And very clearly, Revelation chapter 3 talks about the church in the last days and using the church at Laodicea. And he says this in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Yeah. And that's the church today, isn't it? When we look at the church around, you know, there's these big buildings filled with people.
Yeah.
And they're having a good time.
Yeah.
They've got their I don't have a problem with people having coffee. I'm not an anti-coffee people. I like a little coffee with my cream. Yes, I know. But you know, I don't have any problem with people enjoying a cup of coffee, and we're a small church, and small churches can do things that big churches can't.
Right.
And we have people sitting with their coffee cup during the service.
Sure,
But, you know, they're not sitting in a coffee bar listening to the service on a overhead monitor or something. They're in the service, and we're just a small church. In fact, invite people to come out and visit us. We'll have more information on that at the end of the program.
Yeah.
But you know, the idea is that this church here thought they had everything. In reality, they had nothing.
It's because they didn't know. They knew not. It says, thou knowest not. And that is the biggest problem, is ignorance.
And that's the church today,
yes,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
And look, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And that's what he's doing. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. And that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Well, I hear the music, and I know we're just about out of time. I want to thank you, Pastor Lutz, for being on the program with me. Allow me to be on with you in the last half hour.
Great.
And encourage people, if you're listening, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be, running for the hills and hiding. I know that's a tendency in some people. Don't be overcome with mourning.
Yeah.
Remember to look up. Yeah. Our Redeemer, our redemption is drawing nigh,
that's
isn't
right.
he? That's what Jesus said in John 21, or I'm sorry, Luke 21. Yeah. We know it's coming soon. I hope you know Christ is your Savior. Yeah. If not, why don't you put your faith in Christ before it's too late? Thanks for listening. God bless. Continue to pray for America.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.